Patrick Hutzel from IntensiveCareHotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives of families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode I answered another question from one of our readers, and the question last week was, my wife is in intensive care, ventilated with high oxygen requirements and with esophageal cancer. Is she going to be okay? You can check out the answer to last week's question if you're clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I answer another question from one of our readers, and this week's question is from Ellie in the UK, and Ellie asks, my mum has been in intensive care for 3 weeks now and she is on ECMO for ARDS or lung failure. Will she survive? Hi Patrick, I'm a new member of the support group icusteps.org and your website was recommended there. Here's what's been happening. My mum has been in ICU in the UK for the last 3 weeks and is in a really bad way. She was taking methotrexate for her arthritis and starting feeling breathless. I called 999 and she got taken into hospital and put on an oxygen mask. That then progressed to a big oxygen mask which she had on for 24 hours and hated at 100% of oxygen. Then she was put on a ventilator and sedated and taken to a London hospital in the night to go on ECMO artificial lung support. Each step of the way has gotten darker and darker and more difficult. She had a rare form of pneumonia because of the methotrexate which lowered her immune system, which then turned into ARDS or lung failure. They didn't know what the infection was for the first week, but she was put on the ECMO system for 5 days and then taken off because the test results were good. But she caught an infection in the hospital, which was Pseudomonas with a high fever. They keep probing her with no results, and now because she came off the ECMO and back on the ventilator, she has a collapsed lung which they fixed, and now holes or pneumothoraxes in the other lung which they are trying to fix, and she's on a smaller ECMO taking carbon dioxide out. She now has another infection as well. They have woken her from sedation on 2 different occasions, but her anxious state means the oxygen she needs goes up and then they put her back on sedation. I have been trying so hard to communicate with the pharmacist and the doctors about her anxiety from the beginning because she has been on temazepam since the 1980s when she had a breakdown and got addicted. She's very reliant on it and usually uses her monthly dose in 3 weeks and gets extra tablets. They have been giving her lorazepam, which is cleaner, but the pharmacist has used the words weaning and saying she's cutting the dose and replacing it with other drugs. I just feel it's counterproductive as they end up using sedation when they could be helping her anxiety when she's waking by giving her what she's used to so she can start rehab. 2 weeks ago she had a day awake out of 3 days where she stuck her tongue out at me on command, frowned and gave a surprised eyebrow look and even smiled slightly when I told her the nurse was going to brush her teeth. But a few days ago she looked brain dead and the muscles in her tongue weren't working. I'm told there isn't any brain damage, but she didn't look good on day 2 after sedation was wearing off. Now they have a new infection and dealing with the pneumothoraxes in the lungs, but until the damage is irreversible she can't be put at peace or allowed to die. This could take months, but I don't want this for her, and I know she wouldn't want this either. She also can't move her hands and arms, of course, as her body muscles don't work, I forgot to say. I'm sorry I'm writing this quickly as I have an 8-month-old baby who is asleep but keeps waking up. I desperately want her to get better and to get her into rehab. I have music on CD for her and I ring up every night asking them to put her earplugs in the hope she can get some deep sleep even with sedation. I'm used to driving her everywhere, helping to keep her calm and positive, and I feel so upset I can't help her when she's so vulnerable and could be going through hell. I know they are trying to save her life, but sometimes it feels that they are experimenting on her, and it's a win-win for them as they learn from her being there. If I knew she wasn't going through hell for definite, then I wouldn't be so worried, but I know that she has a big imagination, gets huge anxiety, especially without the right medication. By the way, lorazepam is supposed to take years to come off from, but they say because she's not giving herself the medication, it doesn't apply so much. I know, it doesn't look good at the moment and I want her to be at peace. I visit every day and have nearly burned myself out with the baby not sleeping through the night as well. You probably hear those stories a lot. I will read more of your articles on your website now as well. It would be great to speak with you on Skype if you are available. Many thanks, Ellie. Hi Ellie, thank you for your question and thank you for making contact. I'm really sorry to hear what you and your mother are going through. I know it's a terrible situation to be in. But after reading through your emails several times, I can now truly feel your situation and I think I have a good grip of what you and your mother are going through with your mother's difficult and challenging situation in intensive care. Here's what you need to know. Number one. Going through a prolonged induced coma and sedation in intensive care can be a difficult and challenging process, especially when intensive care teams are trying to get critically ill patients out of an induced coma to wake them up can be extremely challenging. This might even be more difficult with your mother's history of taking temazepam for decades and even being addicted to it, as well as in light of the fact that she has been in an induced coma for about 3 weeks now. Temazepam is a benzodiazepine, and what's important for you to know is that during the induced coma in intensive care, the sedation being given was most likely midazolam, which is a benzodiazepine as well. The doses of midazolam being given for the induced coma would have by far exceeded the doses of temazepam your mother was taking at home. Therefore, the next step for your mother is to withdraw from the much higher doses of midazolam she would have had and may still receive intravenously during the induced coma. On top of that, she would have received a strong opiate or painkillers during the induced coma and she would have most likely been on either morphine or fentanyl for pain relief during the induced coma. The same applies to morphine and fentanyl. They are both addictive. And on top of the withdrawal from temazepam and midazolam, your mother will be withdrawing from fentanyl or morphine as well. The withdrawal process can be challenging, however, is doable even in light of a previous temazepam addiction. Patience is critical to get your mother out of an induced coma, but it can be managed with the right mixture of medications such as clonidine, dexmedetomidine or Presidex, propofol and a few others. That is, of course, given that your mother is otherwise getting better and her condition is improving. You have also mentioned that your mother had times when she was briefly awake and she was poking out her tongue when you asked her to. Again, critically ill patients in intensive care in an induced coma may well fade in and out of consciousness, and it's nothing unusual to have lighter moments. Coming out of an induced coma is a process and it's not an event. It's like switching on a light with a light dimmer and not with a light switch. Please also check the following articles out about induced coma below in the written version of this blog. What is an induced coma and why is my critically ill loved one in an induced coma? There's a link to that article below. And the other article you should check out is How long does it take to wake up after an induced coma? Let's move on to number two. you are probably correct about your feelings as it relates to the intensive care team, quote unquote, experimenting on your mother. This can be true, especially since treating ARDS with ECMO is a relatively new treatment option and has only been around for the last 5 to 10 years. Therefore, intensive care teams are in fact still, quote unquote, experimenting with ECMO. Having said that, ECMO can certainly be life-saving and it can give your mother's life back. From experience, 3 weeks in intensive care in an induced coma and ECMO for ARDS or lung failure is not a long time, and therefore giving it more time might be advisable. I can, however, relate to how you feel about what your mother is going through, and I can also relate on how you must feel by spending night and day in intensive care, especially with your 8-month-old baby. The situation you are describing to me is a typical intensive care situation, and I know for you it's horror to watch your mother suffer, and you probably feel like 3 weeks is an awful lot of time, but I can tell you it's not for ARDS or lung failure, ECMO and an induced coma. If I was you, I wouldn't get too worried about the temazepam and or lorazepam, as it sounds to me like your mother has much bigger issues to deal with. And I believe your mother's next step is to get her Pseudomonas infection under control, take control of her holes in her lungs, which are pneumothoraxes. Next, get off the ECMO, get off the ventilator, and then manage her anxiety. It's also likely that your mother will be confused, agitated, and/or aggressive when she gets out of the induced coma. Check out this related article, The 5 Things You Need to Know If Your Loved One Is Confused, Agitated, and Delirious in Intensive Care. Click on the link to this article below in the written version of this blog. The other article you should check out is After Weaning of a Ventilator, Is It Normal to Be Confused? Again, click on the link to this article below. Let's move on to number 3. I can totally understand how you feel about having your mother at peace. Unfortunately, the situation that your mother and you are currently in doesn't give you much room for peace, as it sounds to me like it might be too early to come to a final decision. In a few weeks' time, you might be grateful to have your mother still around. However, I can't predict that. If you feel like your mother is suffering too much, and if you feel like it's getting unbearable for yourself and for your mother, and if you think that a limitation of treatment or even a withdrawal of treatment might be in your mother's quote-unquote best interest, then you should certainly discuss with the intensive care team. You shouldn't rush those decisions, however. It would also be good to know what age your mother is, as I might be able to shed more light on the situation once I know your mother's age. You should also not underestimate people's resilience in light of extreme challenges. If I have learned one thing in more than 15 years intensive care nursing experience in 3 different countries after working with literally thousands of critically ill patients and their families, then it's that critically ill patients can be extremely resilient even against many odds. Also, try and take time out for yourself. You need to be strong and you need to be at your best. You don't want to make any hasty decisions you might regret down the line. I know how tiring, exhausting, emotionally draining, challenging and difficult this situation is for you, especially with your 8-month-old baby, and the situation most likely makes you feel very vulnerable as well. However, reaching out for help and trying to get a grip of the situation, as well as controlling your emotions, is the right thing and the only thing to do. I really hope this helps, Ellie, and I can be available via Skype in the next few days if you want me to. Please let me know and I can answer more questions and guide you through this challenge. How can you have peace of mind, control, power and influence whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? you get to that all-important feeling of peace of mind, control, power and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you learn quickly how to get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions. Discover the many competing interests in intensive care and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You get 5 killer tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to peace of mind, control, power and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. And how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care. And it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, and I'll see you again in another update next week. Make sure you also check out our blog section with more tips and strategies, or send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.